The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you are with us tonight. We got some good stuff to cover, and we are going to kind of stick with the program and do a little open line, kind of letting you guys pick the topic, and we'll have some fun answering it. So, got Mr. Mangan with me tonight.
Evening, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good. Got Matt with us.
Hey, how are you?
Matt's he crawled under the desk again, didn't he, Charles?
To go pull him out once again.
So I had a special day yesterday, Mr. Speed.
Tell me about it.
Well, it was the one-year anniversary of me being part of the Speed family. My marriage.
How about that? 1 year anniversary. Congratulations, you and Emily. That's a special day. I've had 32 of those days. Be 33 of those in July.
32 days or 33 years? You said 32 days. It both be long.
Okay, I'm sure everybody's going to start typing in right now. Martha's the luckiest person we know.
All right, everybody. Y'all try to refrain yourself.
All right, I never do this, but I'm going to show you this, okay? That is Martha sitting right over there. Uh-huh. I don't know if I can get her in there. Yeah. So I don't see Martha typing. She's elated.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. She's already typed it. As soon as I said it, she's all after it. All right. Let's move on to something serious here. I see you guys. Let's see. What we got, Mr. Matt?
All right. So, I believe it's Brett Calloway that we have up first, who has a question about raising money and closing in an LLC. So, Brett, you're unmuted if you want to go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Brett. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. So I just, have set up a series LLC structure. I'm in Nevada, so it kind of makes a little bit of sense out here. In some states, it doesn't quite make too much sense.
Right. Very familiar.
So my question is, I don't have any funds of my own, so I'm raising money to purchase these notes, and I want to do some performing notes first.
Okay.
And I'm using the Series LLC, and I'm actually going to put my investors in one of the cells, and that's how they're going to be secured to the note. Is they're going to be managing members of the cell that's going to hold the note. And I just want to be able to purchase the note from Note School and pick up a commission and not have that commission reflected in the cell where the investors are going to, see all of the accounting. So I want to conduct a simultaneous close between an LLC that I own outright, with my investors' cash. So I'm just curious, can we do those types of closings with those?
All right. Well, first of all, let me just tell you something. This is not a real estate deal, and you can sell an asset to an entity, and we can pay you a commission that's offline. So there's no point in trying to do a flip, okay? And the reason I wouldn't do a flip is because you got to record another deed and you do all that stuff, and it's just, you're just kind of giving yourself some fees. It's kind of unnecessary. So there's no legal requirement whatsoever that we disclose any kind of commissions that we pay in the note buying space. I'm a little bit curious, though, why you have chosen to do it this way.
Well,
tell me about the makeup of these investors.
Well, I've done, I guess I started with Impact Wealth and doing some private lending, and I came across you guys at one of the Platinum events.
Right.
And so I started using Specialized Lending Trust to secure my investors, and the Specialized Lending Trust really has just been a nightmare, I think, for everybody involved with it. And I'm hearing conflicting stories from all angles, and so I've consulted other attorneys who are telling one thing, and I'm hearing other things, and it's just very cloudy to me. So I went to an attorney and said, hey, what type of setup should I use, could I use to make things more clear and more compliant? And so he suggested a series LLC where we have two different classes of members, a Class A and a Class B member. So that's how I would get paid, is like a Class B. My investors get paid as Class A. And so that's how I can maintain spreads on these notes. And because that's really what I want to do is get passive income. So I don't want to necessarily put everything I have on the commissions. I want to pick up some commission, but I want some good passive income each month as well.
All right. So now I understand a little more of your question.
Okay.
So your entity is going to buy this note.
Right.
Okay. And then you're going to collateralize it with a loan?
Well,
how are you going to earn future spreads on it if you assign the note?
So my master entity is not going to be the one that buys it. We're going to create a cell underneath the master, and we're going to make our investors managing members, and that cell is what's actually going to hold the note.
What ensures you get paid?
Well, what we're doing is we're doing a Class A and Class B. So there'll be Class A investors which say that they get the first 8%. And then the Class B member would get whatever is left. So that's how they instructed me to set it up, is make my investors Class A, and they get paid a specific interest rate first, and then the Class B member, which would be myself, would get paid whatever's left. So,
all right. So you're going to put this in a, an LLC, okay?
Yes.
And you're going to have your investor that's a managing member, but you're going to be listed as a member as well.
Correct.
Okay. And then the document is going to call for the managing member to earn a preferred rate of 8%, and you earn everything over that.
That's correct.
Okay, and you want to also earn a fee up front.
Yes, I would like to get a commission up front, and that's what I don't necessarily want to be disclosed to the investors. So they'll be aware of what I'm making residual each month, but I don't want them to necessarily see what I'm buying the note for.
Okay. Well, you can earn a commission in the note space without having to disclose it. I'm confident of that.
Okay. So if I'm going to purchase a note that you guys are selling, let's say it's $90,000, but I want to sell it to my investors for $100,000, would I just transfer $100,000 to you at closing, and then you would just pay me personally out the $10,000.
That's right.
So there's no need for a simultaneous closing then.
No. Oh, you agree with all this, Charles?
Yeah. We would just do an agreement between you and Colonial that we pay you a fee on that sale. So that's all we do. You transfer the money, and then we turn around and wire you the funds for the commission.
Yeah. And then, you know, so theoretically, I mean, for those of you that aren't familiar with the concept of a series LLC, the purpose in a series LLC, and there's probably 20 states now that have them, including Texas, the purpose in a series LLC is you don't have to go file a new LLC documents every time you do it. So you have a master LLC that you go file with the Secretary of State, and then you just have subsidiary LLCs underneath it, and it can have different ownership and different tax returns and everything else.
Right.
And now, are you? I assume you live in Nevada. You're going to come to the trust class and stuff in May with Walter and Jeff, right?
Yes, we're going to be there, and I started setting all this up before I knew what was coming, but I imagine we have other businesses besides note buying that we can still use the series for, so we may create some sort of fusion between the trust and the series.
Yeah, I think that they will be able to help you a lot with that. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's nothing that you're describing to me that doesn't work. It's your investor's going to get what we call a pref rate, preferred rate, of 8%, and you're going to earn everything over that.
Right. Okay. Well, that clears it up in my mind. That makes it a lot easier. So I'll just specify which entity is going to purchase and hold the note, and then which entity is going to receive the commission check.
Okay.
All right. That's awesome.
Beautiful. All right, so Gary had a question. Matt, let's see if we can find Gary and put him on. Is that possible?
I just sent Gary a pin, so he should be able to put that in and then be able to speak on the phone. So, Gary, you'll go ahead and put that pin in. You'll be able to speak to that that question that you just put in.
All right, Gary, where you at there, brother? I'm talking. Well,
hold on. Well, we sent him a pin, so he should have received a pin so that he can actually be unmuted since it looks like he's on the telephone.
Okay. Here, Gary, you got to pop that pin in, however that looks. I know you probably drive yourself crazy. You're trying to do it, but
usually about 3 or 4 numbers, and you push pound. Would you like to wait a little bit, or you want to go ahead to the next question, and then once he gets it all figured out, we can go back to that question?
Yeah, we better move on.
All right, so this is from Mick and Janet, and I'll go ahead and I think he's good. Gary, you're unmuted if you want to go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, Gary.
Hi, can you hear me now?
I can. You got your little can with a string in it up to your ear?
Well, I can hear you guys, and you can hear me, so that's great.
Yeah.
So I had a question, a follow-on question to the student's question about the Series LLC. Is that something, that arrangement open for other vendors? Or if he was buying from someone other than Colonial, how would he structure something like that?
Doesn't matter who's selling the asset.
So would he have to then work with the vendor to get a commission on their side, and wouldn't they have to have a procedure in place to allow that to happen?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as I said, it's, you know, I paid thousands of commissions to people that were not disclosed to the buyer.
Uh-huh.
So now, if you have another, when you say another vendor, you mean somebody else that owns the assets?
Yeah, if there were a
buyer. Let me give you an example. We would do it. Condor will never do it.
Okay.
I mean, you stick a gun to your head with Condor, they ain't going to do it. If you ever tell Condor you're not funding it yourself, they will put you on the blackball list for the rest of your life.
My dear. Okay.
I mean, that's just, you know, some of us are more flexible than others.
So that's just one of the benefits of working with Colonial.
Of the thousands. Of the thousands.
Okay. Thanks, Eddie.
All right. No worries. Okay. Matt, let's roll on the next question.
Roll on down, and let me see if I can see if either Mick or Janet's on the there we go. Mick or Janet, you are unmuted if you want to go ahead.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I hope everybody else is, too.
All good. Yep.
Yeah, good. Yeah, just got kind of a quick question here about I'm very, very familiar with the mortgage and the notes here in our state, you know, which is when somebody purchases property and they have a loan against it, then, of course, the deed goes over to that individual, and our securitizing document is basically a lien. However, my question is, I've purchased a couple of notes that are land contracts. And I believe that there's a couple of them are like out in New Mexico, etc. And I believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, if is the deed supposed to be transferred over to like our company when we buy that? Or right. Am I?
That is correct.
Okay, so upon payoff, it's on me to, or our company, to have a quitclaim deed prepared and filed and sent off to the purchaser. Is that correct?
Yep. Theoretically, that's correct, and you could use the identical form of when you bought it. So let me go back and because you're bringing you we're opening two or three doors here. I want to make sure we close them one at a time.
Okay.
When you're buying a land contract basically works like this. The owner of the loan has ownership of the property. The buyer doesn't have ownership of the property. So when we bought this asset from Stonecrest, okay, they assigned it to Colonial or whoever it was, Panacea or who, I don't know who it was, whichever entity you bought it from. You bought it from us and one of our entities, right?
Right. Correct.
So then when you bought it from us, Colonial deeded the property to you. Okay?
Okay. So yeah.
Theoretically, you own the property. Now, you have what's called, Mick, a lien holder's interest in the property. Okay? So, when the guy pays it off, you then are going to issue a deed to him, and it can be a special warranty deed or it can be a quitclaim deed. And I don't think there's anything magic about either one.
Right.
Okay? I wouldn't issue a general warranty deed to him. I'd issue either a special or a quitclaim. If they're unsophisticated or whatever, you do a quitclaim. And we bought assets with quitclaims because that's the way the industry does it. Usually when we convey it, and I signed one of these deeds this afternoon, right before I left the office, we convey it back out with a special warranty deed. And all that says is I'm conveying title, and I'm warranting the title while I was in title. It doesn't say I'm warranting title forever back. It only says I'm warranting it while I was, whatever window of time I was in title.
Okay, so you're stating that nothing happened between the period from
I'm
when
I'm just saying I'm warranting the title. I didn't I you know, I have every right to convey the ownership and title that I own.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yep.
So in this case, you're not going to issue a release of lien, you're going to issue a deed. Because the buyer to this point doesn't own the property. It is a contract that says you're going to deed it to the buyer once the debt is fully paid. That's why it's called a contract for deed in some states, or commonly called a land contract.
Right.
Okay. Now, the other door you opened up is you bought a loan. How long have you owned it?
A year in July.
All right. Now here's the good news. It paid off. So that means you get paid off what you invested plus what? The discount.
What? Oh, yeah. Right, right. Of course.
Right? So you actually, now the yield on your investment probably was about 13 or 14. Now it goes to about 17.
Mm-hmm. Take that all day
long. Charles, Mick's going to have some more money to buy assets with as soon as this pays off.
He's already got one on contract.
That's right. Yeah, I got to get back.
I'll be watching for the wire, Mick.
Yeah, I just got to get back with you on that one. No big deal.
All right, very good.
Good question, though, Mick.
Does that make sense to you, Mick, of how that works?
It does. It makes terrific sense. And my only stumbling block was if I had purchased the note or the loan, I wasn't seeing a deed in my name. I was wondering. I was getting that confused with what happens in our state. So it makes perfect sense. So I'll just go back through the file, and I'm sure the documentation is there that I need.
Okay. All right. What else? What you got, Matt?
Got to unmute myself. Jackie's asking, what are the tax effects if selling it within 1 year?
You bought a note. I mean, it paid off. You're gonna have to pay interest on the money.
Going down, we have one more question on the books, and then we actually have a little conversation that we're going to start, and of course, open up the line for everybody. So, kind of run a little. So let's get Rick in here.
All right.
Rick, you are unmuted if you want to go ahead. Actually, I may have the wrong Rick here. Sorry about that. Actually, it doesn't look like Rick May is on the call as of right now. So, Ben's asking, how do you calculate the increase in yield when the note pays off early? How is that calculated? You said it went from a 13 or 14 up to a 17. How does that calculate?
Because when you buy a note at a discount and you're anticipating earning the interest on the note plus the discount of the note, it's that yield is calculated over the life of the loan that you bought. If you have a triggering event and the loan pays off early, then it doesn't take you the 10 years to collect your money. You got all your money in a year. And that's going to take your investment plus your total payback, and it's gonna make your yield higher.
All right. I'll go ahead and ask this question for Rick, and then he can always go back and listen to this, and then we can just go to that open conversation. Plus, we've got another some questions that are coming in on the board. So, but and I don't know if you or Charles that want to address this, but. On one of the last tapes, there's a field on the spreadsheet that has a date for the full charge-off date or maturity date, I'm guessing. So why would purchasing a note, why do you care about that, and if so, or do you care about that, and if so, why?
Is that a performing question? Because the performing notes aren't charged off.
Right.
Okay, so maybe we'll maybe that's why he's not on the call, is because it's for non-performance.
Yeah, that's for tomorrow night.
Okay. Well, then, right, cool. You know. I'm going to go ahead and pull Michelle if you want to, or do you want to answer the question about the next tape coming out?
It really doesn't make any difference. The charge-off dates, I mean, that's just when the bank charged it off or the lender charged it off. It really doesn't play any relevance into the purchase of the note itself. It just tells you that the lender charged it off. They charged it off 5 years ago. You know, it hasn't been paying in a while. So it really doesn't really hold a lot of relevance into
purchasing a note.
It's an accounting. It's an accounting function with the bank that held the loan. Has nothing to do with what the borrower owes. Now, believe me, there are certain borrowers that call you up and go, I don't have a mortgage anymore. The bank said it's charged off. So, you ever hear that, Charles?
Just a few times, Eddie. So, don't pay any attention. Don't pay any attention.
Just because the bank didn't think you could pay it back, I think you can, or I'm going to have to take your collateral. So when I bought it, I have an investment in it, and your loan is you owe the full amount of the debt, Mr. Borrower.
So Charles, this is a question that's going to come to you, and I know that your computer's off right now, so you can't read any of the questions. But Andre's actually wanting to know when our next performing tape is going to come out to everybody.
Andre, that's a good question. We're going to have a tape released tomorrow. We will send everybody an email. It's going to have probably around 15 assets on it. These are newer assets that will be performing. There will be some sub-performing, and then there will be some REOs. So there will be all three on this tape, and they will be priced accordingly. They've all got the price on there, so there's no bidding. It's a first-come, first-served. So we will be releasing that tomorrow, and we will send out everybody an email blast tomorrow once we release the tape.
So,
and we are closing a whole bunch of assets here right now, so there's a pretty substantial amount of inventory coming down the track.
Okay.
You'll be updating them on what that looks like too, right, Charles?
Yeah, we've got close one pool of assets on Friday, and we're working on three other acquisitions by the end of the month. So these are all performing. The majority of these are performing assets. So in the next 30 days, once we get to our rest of the time frame, we'll be putting more of those out as well. But, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline right now, and that's just the acquisitions that we've got scheduled for this month. We can only get through so many a month.
All right. So, Mr. Speed, I know that we had an email going back and forth about when we don't have pools available, what's kind of the business model look like. So I'm going to go ahead and bring Michelle on, and y'all can kind of talk through. I know y'all had a little bit of a conversation, and you can set it up how you wanted to make that look. So, Michelle, I have you unmuted, and I'm going to go ahead and give the floor to Mr. Speed first.
All right. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm good. How are you, Eddie?
Good. So one of the things that we're always wanting to do is to make sure that you guys understand, a lot of you love the fact that we have assets and you can buy them from us, and we go out and buy, and we do definitely buy assets that would not necessarily be available otherwise, and the reason that's true is because, we buy them in bulk. A lot of these sellers that sell in bulk will not sell on a one-off basis. Most of them won't. So the question is if you wanted to earn some fee income, or you wanted to go buy some assets outside of sourcing them, the assets that we do, and what's that going to look like? And is there the potential to either go earn some fee income or just to go buy the assets at a deeper discount, right? And so, Michelle, that's kind of where you come in, and you said, hey, this is something that comes up on the pricing desk, and so we want to kind of talk about it and explore it and see what that's going to look like.
Okay, so I thought maybe what we would do is talk about the different ways that people can have a performing note, create a performing note, or buy one.
Yeah.
So how would you like to go about conversing about that?
All right, so creating a performing note would be something like where you own or finance a property, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you own or finance a property to a consumer, okay, and you do it more than twice a year, in whatever entity it is. Not, you can't form different corporations. You can't create different land trusts and think, well, just because the payer is paying a different entity than the other payer, that I'm going to sidestep this. That's not true. Anytime you have combined ownership of two or more than two transactions in a year where you have owner financed a property to a consumer, you are subject to Dodd-Frank. So you're going to have an RMLO create the paperwork. Okay? And the thing that I would say to you about selling a property in that manner is the buyer that's buying the house from you is buying it on the payment, not based on the price. And if you're dealing in low price band assets, that's why you typically will see a realtor with a BPO and they only have comps for $35,000-$40,000, yet the monthly payment, if you had to pay rent on the house, would be $750 or $800. So if the buyer is going to buy it from you commensurate close to what the monthly payment is, then you're going to be selling that house for a lot more than what the cash comps say they're worth. Okay? So you do have to be compliant, and please don't ignore that. And there are a couple of different vendors that are on the membership site that offer this service. One of them is National Asset Advisors, and the other one is Pat, and she's actually been a student, but she lives in Arizona, has RMLO license in many states, and she's worked pretty hard to kind of cater this to note school folks. So those are people that can help you with the legal requirement of being compliant with Dodd-Frank. So you can't physically do the application or do the seller finance transaction without that residential mortgage loan originator and their license on these documents. So it's really critical that you do it right. Okay? All right, so what else could you do? Well, you could sell the property to an investor. So you could load it with a tenant and sell it on the 50-50 model. And that sales price, just like selling it to a consumer, is hopefully going to be a pretty substantially higher price than just selling it for what the cash comps are worth. Okay? Both of those are where you're creating a note on your own property and carrying it. Now, the other thing you could do, Michelle, is you could go create the 50-50 model and help another real estate investor who has rental properties do that and secure an option to buy his note at a discount. So if I sold a house on the 50-50 model, $50,000 down, $50,000 owner finance notes, and because I was able to sell it for a good bit more than the investor thought I could, I may buy that. I may have an option to buy his note for 65 or 70 cents on the dollar.
That'd be good returns.
And then all of a sudden, I may go flip that note to another investor for 90 cents on the dollar. So all of which would produce either fee income up front or fee income up front plus residual income if you didn't sell the whole note.
Right.
Okay? Now, there has been a huge pile of seller finance notes that have been created in the last year, okay? And I will tell you this, Michelle, we don't have, Colonial does not have the bandwidth personally to go chase all the assets that are out there. So we would love for students to go source seller finance notes and bring them to us. Now, you could do that either utilizing reverse ad marketing, which there's a lot of stuff on the website talking about, and which was a very effective technique that I developed back in the early 1990s, where you find people that are running an ad selling a property and offering seller financing within the advertising of the property. Okay? The other thing you could do is you could do direct mail, and we'll connect you with the vendor so that you can go do direct mail. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Michelle. If you're going to go buy retail owner finance notes, you got to be able to overcome the objections of the seller. Because in their mind, when you're soliciting to buy their note, they think it's worth like 95 cents on the dollar or 100 cents on the dollar, and you're going to tell them you're going to give them 70 cents on the dollar. You better be able to go through overcoming the objection. Now, I'm going to tell you this, Michelle. There is a huge amount of training on the rich rewards on demand side that really lays this out. It's a topic that we used to spend hundreds of hours doing on this Monday night call, helping students overcome the objections of somebody selling a note. But we would love for you guys to go chase deals. We would love for you to go chase deals because we need inventory, right, Charles?
Exactly. We need a lot of inventory.
So we got a lot of money to spend. We are raising capital at a pretty rapid pace, and we need inventory. So we would love for you guys to go chase deals. Now, we're going to tell you to put your big boy britches on. You got to go out there and find these deals, and you can bring any of this stuff to the call on Monday nights, okay? And there is a ton of stuff on the website that talks about reverse ad marketing, that talks about direct mail, any of this stuff. There's lots of potential. So I would love for you guys that want to go out and be more entrepreneurial to go chase some assets for us. We desperately need the assets. Andre asked, was a lease option affected by Dodd-Frank? And the answer is no. Dodd-Frank affects a financing technique, and lease option I don't believe is considered a financing technique. There may be some state that has a, you know, different spin on it, but if they do, I don't know about it, and I know a lot of people have gone to a lease option for that reason. You can convert a lease option to an owner finance transaction.
And I think I've heard it on both sides of the deal. Whether some people say contract for deed or land contract is, and some people say it isn't. What is your position?
The people that say it isn't are clueless. It is a financing technique, and it is damn sure subject to Dodd-Frank. Don't ever let anybody tell you it's not. I'm using my best French to help you remember.
I understand. I get it.
It's because it's important, and you ask it. And I know you know this personally, Michelle. I know you're prompting me. I got that. But yeah, it's important. There's people that say if you do a land trust. Now this isn't what Walter and Jeff say. There's people that say if you do a land trust, you just own every property in its own land trust, and that way you're not subject to Dodd-Frank because you only have one transaction. That's wrong. It's a common thread of ownership.
That's good. Do it right or don't do it.
You know what, Michelle? We see assets every day that people own. We had a guy come to us that owned 100-something notes. We got a guy right now that's got 300 notes, and about 100 of them have created since January 10th of last year, and we won't price them because they're subject to Dodd-Frank, and he's not compliant. And he goes, well, you won't even price them? And we're like, nope.
No. The penalties are too stiff.
Well, the penalty is all the borrower's got to do is send you a letter and say, I don't want to pay, and they got rights of offset, and they just cancel. You got to cancel the debt. Yep. That's a pretty steep penalty.
Yep. But anything that was written prior to that is still available, and there's a lot of that out there we can find.
Huge amount. And like I said, we would love for you guys to go chase these assets because we need inventory, and we'll darn sure pay you fee income for it. Now, you got to go be an entrepreneur and go utilize some of these techniques, and I'm all over helping you guys on the call. What I'd like you to do is, you know, initiate a conversation ahead of time and ask for some information, and we'll put it on the call, and then we'll kind of do some background work and do it. So, you know, it's not near as easy when, you know, somebody just says, well, Eddie, you know, just spontaneously just thought of this question 3 seconds ago. I'd like to go make some money. you know, and so I'm going to, you know, Michelle knows this. I'm going to send you out to do your homework. And Michelle, I know that you are a Titanium mentoring student, but you're also have a little part-time gig helping us with the pricing desk, you and Tim Siebling. And I know you get people ask this all the time. Well, if you guys are selling me a performing node, how can I buy one cheaper? Go find it yourself. That's what we do.
Right.
And we want to teach you how to do it. We're totally okay with that. We're just saying you got to go get after it.
Right. And there's plenty of lessons to be learned on that site. We just have to get through it.
And you can... You know, you can get on the call and ask a question ahead of time. The reason I like to ask it ahead of time is, you know, if it's like locating something on the site, then, you know, maybe we want to do some research or something beforehand, you know, so we can show you where to find it.
Right.
Right. Somebody asked about the cutoff date for Dodd-Frank, and that was January 10th of 2014. That's when any assets after that date you have to be compliant with Dodd-Frank. By the way, some of you signed up for the Solar Finance Coalition at Node Expo, and we're just waiting on you to go on and pay the money you promised to pay. And that really would be a great idea, because I just wrote another big check this month to carry the effort forward. And I really would like for you to help us out. All right. So anything, anybody want to raise their hand, talk about, you know, fee income, different ways that you could go, you know, kind of get in the middle of this and earn some fee income with it? Everybody good? Everybody's made all the money they need to make this year already? Oh, somebody raised their hand. Oh, he re-lowered it.
You're intimidated.
And as I said, you know, we're really, 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 we've got a lot of inventory. So a lot of cash that we're taking in our capital fund, and we really are trying to spend it. So we would love for you guys that want to go earn some fee income to go be entrepreneurial and go out there and chase some of these deals and put them together. And we'll be happy to pay you a decent fee to go check, to go bring it to us. Michelle, when you're on the pricing desk, give me a little flavor of that. Somebody's looking at buying performing notes on the pricing desk. Are they worried about price, or do they want us to go help them find it?
I think there's a little bit of both. There's such a variety of people that come through because we've got so many students. But, you know, there's price issues. There's can you just go get me more? And the inventory
more
goes
what?
Pretty fast. More inventory because yeah. The inventory goes fast.
Well, and part of it is, Michelle, and you know this, we have had a – pretty significant insurgence of capital in our capital fund in the last 45 days. And that's, you know, Charles and Bob, Michelle, I think you know this, they're like been over the top evaluating and trying to get these assets closed. So we have a significant amount of inventory coming. And as of in the last 10 days, you know, Charles and I had a meeting late this afternoon. I mean, we got a lot of capital coming. So we got, you know, it's ebb and flow. I mean, everybody wishes it was like a gas pump and you could just drive up there and fill your tank up every day, but the business has never been that way for me or Charles or Bob or any of us. So you just, you know, it's kind of ebb and flow, but we certainly have a lot of inventory of assets coming, and we need you guys to buy it. That's the whole goal of the capital fund. We buy it in bulk and sell it to you on a one-off, two-off, three-off basis. So Matt, I see you pull some stuff up there in Rich Awards. And let me tell you something, this training is not obsolete. This is something that took me 30-something years to figure out, and it still works. Note manufacturing, you know, that's probably a chapter that I'm not as focused on today, but like the reverse ad marketing and direct mail and negotiating with sellers, all that stuff is just as relevant today as it's ever been your whole life. Understanding present value Those are some things that, you know, like somebody asked earlier about how do you calculate yield, and I think those are some things that you do. And by the way, when you guys come to like a live event today, a live three-day class, you know, prepare ahead of time. Let us know you're coming. And and then we'll, you know, we'll tailor some special math stuff that we cover in the class while you're there. I mean, we certainly don't mind doing that. All right, what else? Oh, Jackie asked about a Note Pro. A Note Pro was just like where you would work with a realtor and be a note professional, and that's something that it's not that it won't work, it's just there's a faster horse in the barn today. So, all right, Mr. Matt, what else?
I believe that's up. Ben just asked a question real quick. He's wanting to know why you're not focusing too much on manufacturers selling financing anymore. And he was saying it seems like the economy might be perfect for that right now.
Well, that technique was the most effective when realtors were struggling so much with loan underwriting. I mean, just almost every loan was getting turned down. And underwriting for conventional lending has backed off a little bit, so it's just not something, you know. I mean, there's just other ways to earn fee income that's probably better today. And I think some of the specific methods that we talked about, you know, prior to that would be something I think is just a little easier. Okay.
So here's a question, and this might be something for Charles since he's as well, but especially considering the ideas of Dodd-Frank, and you said there are only three things that can truly kill you: tax, title, and blighted property. Well, the other part of that is whenever you're starting to qualify these notes that we're going to go out and find, what are some of the aspects that we should concentrate on of saying, okay, we need to make sure that it's Dodd-Frank compliant? What are some questions we can ask to maybe vet that and kind of just, I don't know, just kind of go through a couple of those questions that we can go through to make sure that we're buying a note that can be sold again.
All right. If you are a dealer, okay, you understand what I mean by dealer? Meaning that if you sell three or more properties in a single year to a consumer, somebody that is living in the house as an owner-occupied resident, okay, if you're a dealer, meaning that you own or finance three or more transactions in a year selling to a consumer, you have to have an RMLO to handle the paperwork. So it's pretty clear. If they don't have an RMLO, they ain't going to be compliant. If they're not a dealer, they're not going to have to worry about it. So I have a guy that is in a real estate mastermind that I'm in that called me today. He lives in Cleveland. Good guy. He's got a lot of property. He's sold a lot of low cash flow rentals to investors. Told me he had 100 houses somewhere in the process right now. So he's a pretty big real estate investor, but he's not owner financed property. So he has a lady that works for him that he agreed to owner finance her. Now she's had divorce or whatever it is, and she's got credit issues. But he owner financed it. He's willing to sell me a partial at a pretty low investment to value ratio, about 35%. So with 35%, I'm going to fund house is worth 90, and we're going to fund I think $30,000 up front. Isn't that right, Charles?
Yeah, that's correct.
Then after they pay for like 18 months, I'm going to give them another $14,000. So I did a partial, but I did an installment purchase partial. I only bought 168 months of a 360-month note, but I only am giving him part of the price of the partial up front. I'm holding back part of the money based on seeing the performance of the loan. Okay? So he's owner financing this house to him, and I said, Joe, his name's Joe, I said, Joe, how many houses have you owner financed this year? He said zero. And Charles and I talked about it. He's not subject to Dodd-Frank.
So it makes a perfect note.
Yeah.
Now, I think you had to kind of give them a lesson on structuring the note though as well, right, Eddie?
Well, I went basically and just said, go create a note like this, and, you know, I basically backed. He told me, he said, I have a house that I bought, I paid $44,000, okay? I said, what's the house worth, Joe? And he says, it's worth $90,000. Now, he's a professional house buyer, and he knows what he's doing. So it's not inconceivable that he bought that good of a deal, particularly in Cleveland. In fact, a $90,000 house in Cleveland is going to be a pretty doggone nice house. I know if you live in California, you can't wrap your mind around it, but trust me, it'll be nice. So, he said, I promised her principal and interest payments would only be $600. So I took $600. And I just made up an interest rate. I just made it up. I said 7%. I pushed it out 30 years, and I said, how much would you finance? It was right at $90,000. So he's going to sell the house for $90,000. The lady's not making a down payment. I'm funding $30,000 to buy a partial and $14,000 after 18 months. Okay? So I just kind of carved out something that made sense. So Charles manages a business entity and a retirement account. And I went in there and I said, all right, Charles, I found you a deal for your retirement account. It doesn't really fit the capital fund. It doesn't, because it's kind of weird. But Charles looks at it and goes, yeah, the retirement account's going to earn 15 or 16% yield. We're going to have $30,000 invested until the lady proves herself with an 18-month pay history. And then the truth of the matter is, the guy Joe up there that's a real estate investor, he's got so much money that he's owed on the residual interest this note, he ain't going to let it go bad, is he, Charles?
No.
So once again, I tailored the deal to the guy and the fact that I know him and he's credible and you know, I mean, I'm telling him every step of the way, this is, you know, selling this house, this lady's a done deal for you. And he says, yeah, but this is my employee. And he said, she sells houses for me, and she does a good job. So he made kind of a soft deal to her, and he knows that when he came to us, we had to go structure something that was going to make sense for us.
Right.
And all of which, every bit of this stuff would have been something I would have loved if somebody would have sourced that deal other than me that we could beat up and talk about on this Monday call. Now, here's the thing. I'm pretty strict. Monday we talk about performing notes. Tuesday we talk about non-performing notes. And I usually don't mix things. So I know there's, you know, I know there's some folks asking us kind of non-performing note questions, and I'm not being... I'm just saying that's just today's not the day we're going to talk about non-performing calls, and then tomorrow same thing. Those of you that are titanium students, or by the way, we got 9 titanium students coming to the office tomorrow. Ain't that going to be fun? Mangan is going to put them to work.
We have some stuff for them to do this week, Eddie.
So if you're a diamond or a titanium, then obviously you're on both sides of the calls, and you know, you just kind of get used to it. So that's just want to make sure everybody kind of knows how that works, and that's something that we kind of kept separate for many, many years. All right. Michelle, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. So is that, did I cover that well enough, or you want me to dig a little deeper? You want to poke some more questions at me? What do you think?
No, I think you covered it. I just wanted people to be aware that there's so much more options than sometimes we talk about lately.
No question about it. And part of that is I depend on people like Michelle to prompt me into questions. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime.
All right. All right, Matt, let's go to the trust class and the summer summit and talk about what's coming up.
All right, there you go.
All right, so the summer summit is going to be May 15th and 16th. It's going to be in Las Vegas, and it's a no-charge deal. And if you're a mentor student, you're going to be eligible to come. Charles and Susan and the guys with abstracts and several different ones of us are going to have some significant drill-down sessions on due diligence, closing process, documentation, likely title issues to overcome, how you board a loan with a servicer, what they expect from you, and you know, a lot of details about that type of thing. Okay. So we are doing a charity, and we got Walter Wolford and Jeff Watson to donate a class that they have developed the curriculum for, and they will be teaching on May the 14th. That's on a Thursday, so it's right before the Summer Summit starts. May 14th, it is $500 per attendee, and all money goes to charity. Not just a, you know, a lot of people came to us and says, we love the charity work you guys do. We just can't write a check for a few thousand bucks. And we said, that's great. And so here's what we're going to do. Oh, you got the hotel there, Matt. Good for you. And so a lot of you said, hey, we really like that, and we want to donate something. We just can't do, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars. And so we came up with this idea of doing the trust class. 500 bucks per attendee. Let's see, Matt. Oh man, Matt's Googled Earth it. Hey Matt, could you take us like from the airport and ride us to the down the street to get to the hotel?
I don't think you like my driving that much. It'd take too long. It is a nice little complex back here, though. It's got a
it is very nice. In fact, Mr. Shortail recommended that to us.
Nice.
All right. So
we have a hand
anyway,
up.
Anyway, what's that?
Yeah, we have a hand up, by the way. So let's. You want to go ahead and do the hand or?
Sure.
Gary again. Gary, you're unmuted.
Hey, Eddie, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
Great. So I put the question in on the window, and that is, you talked about converting a lease option to a seller finance note. And is it just as simple as just looking at the balance? You know, I'm curious, because in lease option, there's no concept of interest that I'm aware of. So how would you go about converting it from a lease option to a quality note? And are there any gotchas involved in that?
No. In fact, I'd love, but here's what I'd like for you to do. Bring me a real deal.
All right.
Okay. I mean, you know, it's to be theoretical. Can you do it? You can back into exactly what I did today. I got a guy that has a lady that works for him that has bad credit because she's been divorced. She's moved into a house. She's paying him $750 a month. He knows he's going to carry escrow, and he's told her principal and interest payments are about $600, and I just whipped out the calculator and backed into it and backed into an interest rate. So it kind of goes from a lease payment to a house payment.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Yeah. And I'm making offers to people, so I don't have the can I bring it in even if it's just, hey, I made this offer to a guy. How would this convert if I land it?
Absolutely.
All right. Very good.
You bet.
Oh, and where, Matt, where did the, where did you, can you quick give me the navigation to get to that page that you were showing on the training?
Oh, yes. Let me pull up the, there we go. All right. So if you go to train and then go over to non or on demand, just click on the rich rewards and being a little slow right now, but it'll automatically populate. So again, train, on demand, and then the rich rewards. And
got
that,
it.
It'll open you up. And, there you go. And then you can, all of your on demand training will be in that area. So you
okay,
can.
I've seen it. I've seen it before. Okay. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
You bet. All right. So a couple of things. Walter has recommended all you guys that are going to come to the trust class, buy this little book. It's a very inexpensive little book called Land Trust in Florida. I think there was somebody on the call last week that says there's also one called Land Trust in Illinois or something. Same guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is an inexpensive little book. He's recommended that you get this book ahead of time, kind of read through this. They've also said if you're coming to the trust class, you will email them, and Matt, I think you're going to say how to do that. If you'll let them know ahead of time what state you're going to be doing land trust in, they'll do some homework beforehand.
So what we're doing is Zarina's actually making a kind of collection thing for the website for us, and we're going to send out an email that's going to have basically just a link to it that you can go to. It'll ask you what state you're in and what state you have assets in. That way you know not only that when you're opening up in your own state, but if you're opening up for, you know, a trust in other states as well. So that way they can make case studies for a few of the ones that they have that they know can be, you know, a little bit more tricky or something like that. So
yeah. So a couple of homework assignments there. One of them is to get this little book, Land Trust in Florida. And then secondly, Zarina is going to be sending you an email that'll say what states are you going to be interested in doing land trust, and that way Walter and Jeff can do some homework at a time. Okay, so the trust class will be fun. We will have a rich rewards class that'll be going in another room, and that will be Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, if you have a brother, cousin, or uncle that you would like to let them learn a little bit more about what we do, then, you know, they may want to come to the rich rewards class and stuff as well. We will have this event is going to be free, so that means that we do have a cocktail party, but it's going to be a cash bar, and the food won't be provided. So sometimes when we charge, it's just not sometimes. It's almost always a direct result of what kind of food and beverage and stuff we provide for you guys. Okay? All right.
So, Patricia,
where do I pay for the trust class? Matt, somebody is dying to pay for the trust class. How can they register?
So once they go into here, they just place their first name, last name, email, and phone if they're going to bring a guest. And then I'll just kind of put in some stuff here. And then it should give you a prompt in the next Nate Mill. That's not right. Anyway, so if you register,
where did you find that page at, Matt? In the membership site?
So I went to the just the trust class itself that's in the Connect, and then you go to the events, click on the calendar here. Once you click on the calendar, you'll have to scroll over to May because it's in April right now. And then just click on the 14th trust class. Once it does that, and let me get it through here.
All right, now I'm going to do you this big disclaimer, okay? This class is slightly more than a month away, okay? The summer summit is slightly more than a month away. You're going to have to register for the summer summit before you show up. If you don't, we're not gonna have a spot for you because we have to promise the hotel ahead of time we're going to give them a head count. I'm not giving you a drop dead day yet, but I'm telling you it's a coming. So if you know you're coming, I need you to register for the summer summit. It's free. It didn't cost anything, but I need you to help us handle our business as well. And same thing with the trust class. Trust class has a certain capacity, and past that, we're going to be full up. So there is a good reason to double to if you know you're coming, let's get after it and sign up.
I will double check this. I'm fairly certain once you've signed up for the class, you're able to do. But I'll double check with Susan to make sure about that. But they should be able to, once they register and are registered for the class itself, to be able to actually pay for it on that screen. or on that on that tab.
All right, very good. Got several three-day classes all over the country. We've got Charlotte. We got St. Louis, Atlanta, San Francisco. So hopefully you guys will should be checking the three-day class date somewhere, and we hope to see you somewhere really soon. I think we got one coming up here in Dallas too, 1st of June. So hope to see everybody at Summer Summit. Somebody said they registered but did not get a prompt to pay. Matt, I need you to make sure you send that to Susan. We need to see. I think that may be something that's now resolved, but now when you say you registered, Patricia, I want to make sure you registered for the trust class and didn't get a prompt to pay. If you register for Summer Summit, we're not charging anything, so it's not going to ask you for any money. Okay? So when you say you're registered, which one are you registered for? The trust class or the Summer Summit? Anyway, if that's the case, Matt, I need you to get them connected with Susan and her team, Riley and those guys, so that we can get them get their registration squared away with their money for the trust class.
I will absolutely get on that.
Okay. Okay. You guys have a great week. Stay after it. We'll talk to you soon. Good night.
Good night, everybody.